vielleicht. No, you can stop that. If you want to open it in your Bibles, if you turn to page 1227, you'll find 1 John chapter 4. And we're looking at this passage that's from verse 7. We're going to look through to the end of chapter 4 through to verse 21. So it's page 1227 if you're using one of the church Bibles. Love, love, love. We heard a few more there, but roughly there was something about 30 times you heard the Beatles sing the word love in that little clip. And slightly less than that, in these 15 verses of 1 John chapter 4, John uses the word love at least 27 times in just 15 verses. What's on the screen is a pictorial representation of that. It's just the passage stuck into a clever thing on the internet that makes the words that appear more bigger. Love. Love. It's pretty easy to see the point that this passage is trying to get at. And this passage comes as a central part of this letter, the letter of 1 John. And it just makes you wonder, why is it that there's such a strong emphasis on love and loving one another in this letter that John has written? Well, we probably don't have to think for that long before we kind of work out that maybe the issue was, in the church at that time, people weren't showing a lot of love for each other. Maybe the problem was how people were behaving. I'm going to spend a little while just opening up this passage a little bit, and then John and then David are going to come and do a bit of the application of that. And then we're going to spend a bit of time in prayer together, an opportunity to kind of for us to think and reflect on that a bit more and apply it to our own lives as well. We began our reading in verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Your behavior shows what it is that's going on in your spiritual life. The way that you live, John is writing, shows whether you really are a child of God by the way that you love. He's not saying that everybody who loves is God's child. He's not saying that everybody who loves is God's child. We can't quite agree with what the Beatles say when they say love is all you need. That's not quite what John is saying when he writes this. If you took that verse out of context of anything else that he writes, you might try and say that. But you've only got to look a few verses earlier when John's talking about recognizing what's really come from the Spirit of God. And he says, if you're going to recognize what comes from the Spirit of God, then it must be someone who acknowledges Jesus Christ. If you look a bit further on in this passage, towards the end, he writes verse 21. He writes a kind of summary of what Jesus commanded us, of the greatest commandments, that we're to love God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. That we can't separate the two. We can't separate loving God from loving our neighbor. We can't just love our neighbor and say, well, it doesn't matter my relationship with God. The two are linked. And we see that too in what he says in verse 8. Whoever does not love does not know God. That if we fail to love others, he says that we don't really know God. That we can't separate those two. We can't separate loving God from loving our neighbor. That if we're going to know God, that if we know God and we know his love, then we will be moved to love others. Why will that happen? Because he says God is love. That the very nature of who God is, if you're going to know who God is, then you will know that God is love in the very nature of who he is. That as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he is in himself an eternal God in loving relationship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in this loving relationship with one another. And actually we see Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all described in this passage. But can we really say that God is love? In our world today that's full of suffering and evil, sometimes it feels like. Can we really say that God is love? when we recognize our own significance in the broadness of the universe and throughout all history, can we really say that God loves us as individuals? Well, John here insists that it's in God's very nature, who he is, that he loves us, that God is so loving that he can't possibly not love each one of us to our very core. And the point of this passage, we've thought a lot about and will be thinking a lot about our love, but the heart of this passage isn't about us, but about God's love. Verse 10, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. Verse 19 talks about the fact that God loved us first. That God loved us first. Verse 11 talks about the fact that God has set us an example that we should follow. Dear friends, since God loved us, we ought to love one another. That God has set us the example for us to copy. And of course, the supreme example is what he describes here in that second part of verse 10. That he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. The love that God showed us on the cross. That God was willing, the Father was willing to send his son to die for us. And if we spend some time just thinking about that, just even thinking about the words that we've been singing in the songs tonight, it's pretty difficult not to grasp the power and the possibility of that love. We'd have to be pretty stubborn and half-hearted to not recognize the love that there must be in God for us, that the Father was willing to send his only Son, that the Son was willing to die for us. It's a love that's changed the world. It's a love that can continue to change the world today if we get on board with it. If we're willing to look at God's love, not just something for us, not just something we receive, but as an example for us to follow. When we look at it, this passage gets quite interesting. Verse 12 says, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, it seems that he's saying God somehow becomes visible. That the best way to see God today is for us to love one another. Link that with what is in 1 John, the start of John's Gospel in verse 18. He says this, no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God, and is the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. We're comfortable with the idea that Jesus comes and reveals God to us, that people looked at Jesus and Jesus said, you look at me, you see the Father, that Jesus came and showed God to us. But the way verse 12 is written says that somehow people should see God revealed in us, in our love that we show to others. That in the same way that Jesus revealed God to the world, so must we. That people today can read about Jesus in the Gospels, that we can tell them about who Jesus was until we're blue in the face. But they can't see Jesus today unless they see the love of God shown in the way that we live. Verse 17 goes on to even saying that his love is made complete among us. That somehow if we love others in the way that God loves us, it's as though we've completed a circle, that we love others in the way that we love us, in the way that God's loved us, that they might come to love God. It's astounding in some ways in its simplicity, that to walk with God, to follow him, is to love others as he has loved us. It reminds me of what someone once said, and I wish I had a name for the quote, but the bits of the Bible that I struggle with aren't the bits that I don't understand, it's the bits that I do. Isn't it so very simple? Love others with the love that God has shown you. And yet, isn't it such a huge challenge for us to truly do? But did we really think that following God was going to be something that was simple or easy? That it was a hobby for the weekend? That it was something we could do in our spare time in a half-hearted way? It seems that God has taken this love business quite serious. And perhaps we should do as well. Believing in Jesus isn't just a truth that we recite or a prayer that we pray or a magic formula or a doctrine test or about how much we know of the Bible even. But Jesus showed himself to be love incarnate. John writes that God is love. It won't be long, I hate to point out to you, until we're celebrating God with us at Christmas. Jesus, God, love with us. Someone reminded me just earlier this week that you only believe what you practice. If we really believe that, if we really believe that in Jesus love came and lived among us, and the call is for us to do the same, if we really believe that, then we've got a grasp hold of what it means for us each day, for our own lives, for our life together as a church, for our life that we live in the community each day. John and then David are going to come and unpack that a little bit for us and what that might mean. And then we're going to spend some time thinking about that more for ourselves.
How do we love? To answer this, I suggest we look at God and to see how he has loved us and what can be drawn from this. The reason I suggest we look to God for our answers is summed up very well in verse 16, where Paul wrote, God is love. So how has God loved us? Well, he is constantly forgiving us. For example, most of us will know the story of Jonah, that he was sent to Nineveh to tell them of God's judgment. We all remember the bit about the whale, but forget what God does in the end. Jonah 3, verse 10 says, when God saw what the people did, they stopped doing evil, and he changed his mind and did not do what he had warned. He did not punish them. No one is beyond change. No one is too far from forgiveness. I could not talk about forgiveness without at least mentioning Jesus' death on the cross for us, which teaches us that forgiveness and love both require sacrifice and humility. This story is found in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8, which I will now read. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Another important aspect of God's love is that he loved us first. He has loved us since before we were born and didn't need us to show that we loved him. So often do we only love those who love us. A simple way to see this is with birthday or Christmas presents, where often we only give to those who have given to us. God isn't like that. He initiated our relationship. An example of this is Paul's conversion to Christianity, documented in Acts 9. It starts with Paul asking a high priest for permission to arrest Christians and take them back to Jerusalem, verses 1 and 2. It ends with Paul preaching, Jesus is the Son of God, which just goes to show what can be achieved with the power of God. This example is also very good at showing that for God, there is no one too evil, no one too bad to be loved. Paul had spent months focusing on persecuting the early Christians, but God focused on him. God forgave him, God worked with him, and God loved him. These are all things we can do. There are people in each of our lives in need of love, and we are all capable of focusing on them. We are all capable of forgiving them. We are all capable of working with them and by doing this, we are loving them. For many people here, there are individuals in their life who don't love them, and so loving them can be very difficult, partially due to how unusual it is to love someone who actively is trying not to be loved. But this is the love that God has shown us. It can also be hard to forgive the people, but it's those people who need our forgiveness. God forgave the people of Nineveh, God forgave Paul, and God will forgive us so that we too should forgive others. Like it says in the Lord's Prayer, forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us.
John 4, verses 12 to 14 say that no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. These verses tell us that if we love one another, God lives in us, and we live in him, as we have been given his Spirit. We have therefore, through God's Spirit and our faith, seen that Jesus is the Saviour. So we can share that Jesus Christ is the Saviour. Also, 1 John 1, verse 2, says that life appeared, and we have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. These show us that as the Spirit of God has been given to us, the life that God promised us manifests itself within us along with the Spirit. And as we have seen this life, we will tell others about it and share the good news of the eternal life that God has promised to those who believe and have faith. 1 John 3, verse 18, says, dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. This tells us that we should love others, not just by saying things to them, because, for example, if you make an agreement with someone or say praise towards them but do not honour the agreement or act with praise and respect towards them, then you have only loved with words but have lied with your actions and you were not acting truthfully. However, there are many ways to love with words, actions and truth. One way of many is to share the truth of Jesus. If you tell others about the truth, you are sharing the grace of God with your words. You are showing how God's Spirit changes people positively through your actions and through the hope that the Spirit and the truth has given you. And you are loving with truth by sharing the truth of Jesus and God's word, and sharing the love of God through his promise of eternal life to all those who believe and have faith. John 15, verses 26 to 27 say, when the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. This says that God's Spirit aids us in our faith that Jesus is the Saviour by sharing the truth with others and ourselves from within us when we receive the Spirit from God. And also because of this, we must share with others the good news that is Christ Jesus. As 1 Peter 3, verse 15 says, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Just as this says this, we must always be prepared, as God's Spirit is always prepared, to share with others about the truth of Jesus Christ.